Welcome back to His Time. I'm Andy Bates. It is November 12th, 744 Central Time. It is Thursday morning. It's time to check in with Jane Wilkie at Lutheran Senior Services, LSS Living. Good morning, Jane.
Good morning, Andy. And I will apologize in advance to you and the listeners. I'm needing to use my cell phone today because I'm traveling and I am not certain the cell phone is going to stay with me. So
it sounds good right now.
In advance. Okay, good. Well, I'm standing next to a window. And we will tell all the listeners that that's what you encourage me to do. So if listeners don't know that, when your cell phone's cutting out, go to a window.
We'll see if it helps.
Yes. So, I just noticed on the air that you had aired a commercial for LSS, and at the very end of that commercial, when you put me in the queue, I could hear it saying, asking for volunteers for hospice. And as it turns out, Andy, that's what I wanted to talk about this morning.
Cool.
What a great segue. November is actually National Hospice and Palliative Care Month. And that's everybody can name any kind of a month, I guess, that they want. But that's the organization, National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, has named November that Awareness Month. And so I went online to that particular website. And if anyone wants to learn more about National Hospice and Palliative Care Organization, that's nhpco.org. And I thought it was interesting that the tagline they have chosen for their National Hospice Month in November is Hospice Helps Everyone. And I know that probably sounds odd to you and the listeners because, of course, we know that hospice is that end of life care. And it's very hard to wrap your brain around how hospice can be helpful when it is such an extremely emotionally wrenching time for the patient and their family. But I can tell you from experience, Andy, that it does help everyone. I have been able to witness hospice in my father's life, his cancer the last 3 months when we found out that his cancer was untreatable. He opted to go into hospice and was in hospice for almost 4 months. My sister was in hospice. She was in hospice for only a day. And so I wanted to just chat a little bit this morning about what hospice is and some of the misconceptions about hospice that some people believe. And maybe, I know we only have a few minutes here, but perhaps someone who has a loved one who has received that diagnosis of a terminal diagnosis of likelihood of 6 months or less, that hospice is something you want to consider and why. And so hospice is, of course, that compassionate approach to end-of-life care. People think about it as getting ready to die, and hospice actually prefers to think about it as really enabling you, the patient, to live as fully and as comfortably for as possible in these last days. So hospice focuses on all aspects of life, not just the palliative medicine that is going to manage pain, but it focuses on the physical, the social, the emotional, the spiritual. It's very interdisciplinary. When a hospice team comes into your life, it isn't just that nurse. There's a team that works with your own doctor. There's a medical director. There's a care manager. There's a social worker. There's a volunteer. There's nurses. There's a whole team that comes into the life of this patient and their family. And so there's even grief counseling that I believe lasts for as long as a year after your loved one passes. And I know it's just very hard to wrap your brain around how that could really be living life fully. But there are so many things, so much of an expertise that each one of these team members brings that really ends up being a wonderfully healing time, believe it or not, for many families. Because instead of being so overwhelmed with all of the decisions that are going on, you've made the decision to step back, pardon me, excuse my cough there, to step back from the cure and treatments, curative treatments, to making the most of that time that you can be together. And some of those misconceptions are that hospice actually hastens death. And I think that probably comes into play because most patients and their families end up waiting until the very last days before they opt into hospice. So sometimes you'll hear that someone entered hospice and a day later they passed away, which is what happened with my sister. So you begin to think that as soon as you enter hospice, that's going to hasten death. Or some people may think because you are no longer taking advantage of curative treatments that it hastens death. But it really neither hastens death nor postpones it. Its really aim is to improve the quality of life so that patient can be as comfortable as possible with family and friends surrounding them. Mm-hmm. Some people believe that hospice is giving up hope, that you've stopped fighting and that you need to continue fighting. And what they find in hospice is that many terminally ill patients experience less anxiety in the last days because they have refocused that hope into a hope for living fully, hope for taking advantage of this time to talk with family, to be surrounded by loved ones, to say things that are important to say, to relive the memories that were around them. There's also a misconception that if you go into hospice and all of a sudden, your condition does change, and you show signs of possible recovery. That you can't leave hospice. Well, of course, you can go in and out of hospice. So it turns out there are some people who perhaps even if they entered hospice as early as the 6-month diagnosis, may find a change in their condition, and they may go in and out of hospice. Or some people will think, well, if you're 6 months. If you live longer than your 6 months, your hospice won't continue. All of those are misconceptions. And I think it's wrapped around the whole idea that we wait until the last minute. So my urging in my own family experience with my father was that we experienced hospice for the entire 4 months, 3.5 to 4 months after his surgery. And it made it a wonderful experience. It was really a time when we as a family, all of our siblings were around the country. We were able to travel to be with him several times. And each time we knew that he was comfortable until the time when he could no longer communicate with us, we had absolute wonderful family time together. The nurses, the caregivers, the volunteers were all there to support us. And what we really knew was that they were there to make my father as comfortable as possible. And we saw that firsthand. So I would urge anyone who really has a question about hospice or wants to learn more about it, that they could go onto our website, lssliving.org, and they can click, there's a tab on a gray bar that says hospice. It's in the middle of the homepage there at SIS Hospice, and there are phone numbers there. When you click that tab, you can learn all about hospice. There are many tabs there. It tells you about hospice. It tells you more about why LSS hospice would be of benefit to your family. It talks about the spiritual aspect. It has a resources tab. It has stories. There are testimonials of people who have used LSS hospice. And there's also a tab there for having someone contact you. You don't have to talk to someone about hospice just because you've decided to go into, mm-hmm. to engage in hospice right away. You could talk with our hospice folks and just learn about the process just in case you find yourself in that life circumstance.
Hmm. I'm glad you pointed out earlier that hospice is not just about, it's not about death, but rather it's about the quality of life during those later days.
Well, and I remember a friend of mine whose mom had cancer, and they had determined that no more treatment was going to be able to cure it. And I remember her comment so clearly. She said, "My mom isn't going to be focused on dying with cancer. She's going to be focused on living with cancer." And, you know, you've often heard us say, Andy, that the mission of Lutheran Senior Services is older adults living life to the fullest. So it seems odd that we would have a hospice program with that mission, but it really is true. The focus is on quality of life. And on, you know, when you think about that aspect that you have a chaplain, spiritual aspect, there are many questions that come into this. There are many times families that come together that have not been together for a while. So there are social workers, there are, you know, with counseling background, there are so many things that the emotions ride high when you have a loved one who's facing their end of their life. So you have a team that is experienced in working with these emotions, in working with the pain, in working with all of those things that are happening, and so carefully wanting to be there to support the family and the patient. It is truly a marvelous thing. Mm. And hospice does help everyone, not just the patient whose pain is managed, but the family, the grief counseling that follows, the support that's there, having volunteers come in and do some things for you. Let's say hospice is in your home. In the case of my father, it was in his home until he really needed a feeding tube and had to go into a nursing home. But there was a hospital bed. The hospice nurse came right to his home. A volunteer actually did some errands for us so that we didn't have to worry about things like running out to the grocery store or mm-hmm. did we have this or that with family coming. There are just so many things that the idea behind hospice is to add to the quality of life, to help you manage the pain, help with the emotional piece of it, be wrapped in and with a team surrounding you to really zero in on focused emotional, social, and spiritual care.
Well, with just about 2 minutes left, Jane.
Well, I was just going to end with a devotional
sure.
thought for my dad. My dad was always someone who would always say, what can we give thanks for in this situation? And that was even the case when he found out that his cancer was too much to cure. He looked at us and he said, what are we going to thank God for? And the day before he passed away, I happened to be there. He was in Minnesota. I had been living in St. Louis. And he asked me to read to him from the Bible. And I didn't know. I mean, we knew the time was drawing near. I didn't know what to do. So I just opened the Bible, just prayed that the right spot would open. And it was Psalm 118. Hmm. I thought it was so fitting because it started with the words, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. A little bit further into the psalm, it talked about opening the gates of righteousness that I may go through. And it also is the psalm where we hear, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. And then it ends, you are my God and I will praise you. You are my God and I will exalt you. Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good. His love endures forever. It's a beautiful psalm. Read it today, Psalm 118. It begins with thanks. It ends with thanks. My father was that, and I really have that model to live by, and I would urge everyone today to get their Bibles out, read Psalm 118, and start your morning with thanks, end your day with thanks.
Absolutely. Amen. I know we have a Thanksgiving holiday coming up soon, but it's a year-round thing. It's an everyday thing to give thanks to God for the good gifts he has given us, especially in those relationships with loved ones. Thanks so much, Jane.
Absolutely, Andy. Talk to you next week.
God's blessings on your week. That's right. We'll talk soon. Coming up in just a little bit, our study of the daily New Testament reading. By the way, don't forget to check out lssliving.org to find out more about Lutheran Senior Services. More of his time right after this break on Worldwide KFUO.